Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 8th, 2013. And as promised, we're going to finally talk a little about our recent trip to Israel and the supernatural ways, or the unique ways at least, that God worked in and through our group and then through various circumstances, how he answered our prayers and the unique ways we got to shed Christ's love in so many different arenas to so many different people. But first, a few announcements. I want to say for those of you that might be a bit discombobulated because of some of the program upgrades or the program changes that happened on WGNN on Saturday, let me right the ship. Let me walk you through quickly what happened and why, and it'll be our new scheduled lineup for the coming days, and a new updated program guide is available at our website, greatnewsradio.org, under the program schedule. And hopefully in the next few weeks, if I can find some time, I'm going to work on editing that and maybe mailing that out to all of our listeners along with the Voice Listener Radio Survey. But as all things take time and energy and effort, and when I get to it, I'll get to it, but hopefully pretty soon. But the changes that took place on WGNN Saturday morning was we added another hour of open line with Michael Rodelnik. He's with Jewish Studies at the Moody Bible Institute. And so he has a 9 a.m. program while we included another hour. So 9 and 10 a.m. is dedicated to open line with Michael Rodelnik. And because of that change, I had to move a few things around and what the Moody Broadcasting Network offers through the satellite feed. I now have Front Page Jerusalem, which is with David Parsons. That used to be at 2 p.m. It's now at 11. We moved Building Relationships to noon. It used to air at 10 a.m., so that's with Dr. Gary Chapman. 1 p.m., The Land and the Book with Dr. Charlie Dyer. And then 2 o'clock, we launch into Music for Saturday with Donna Leland. That goes from 2 to 5 p.m. So we just flip-flop a couple programs there on the Saturday mid-morning into the early afternoon. And I think it's actually a better lineup for those of you that like those programs. I believe they're at better times. So hopefully you caught those changes. I made a lot of announcements on Saturday morning, and hopefully you'll continue to be blessed by the offerings of programs on WGNN. And incidentally, those of you that are WGNJ listeners, WGNN has different programming than WGNJ. In fact, the only program that's at the same time is Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. with the 7:32 p.m. re-airing. That's 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our Indiana listeners. And then SRN News that typically you hear near the top of the hour, 5 minutes to the top of the hour, there's 4 minutes of SRN News. Other than that, all the programming on WGNN is unique, and WGNJ has its own scheduled program lineup, and you can access those programs at our website again, greatnewsradio.org. The only other announcement before we talk a little about the Israel trip, and you're going to talk a bit about the trip and understanding Israel at a special event coming up May 4th, so about 3 or 4 weeks away.
Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks we're going to have. If you attended last time that I went to Israel, we had an Israel night where we celebrated Israel, showed slides, talked about Israel. This time I want to kind of add to that and have an event we're going to call it Understanding Israel. So you join myself and the Community Evangelical Free Church on May 4th at 7 p.m. And we're going to look at the land, the culture, the people, the customs, and the traditions which form the rich biblical history of the land of Israel. That when we go there, how we can't just look at one thing, which is the Bible. We have to look at all the different things because they all form that rich history, the rich things that we see in the Bible. So love for people to come out there. It's going to be sights, sounds, experience a bunch of different things. Bring a friend, as always. And so it'll be Understanding Israel, May 4th at 7 p.m.
And something's happening this Thursday. What is happening this Thursday? I've been talking about it.
I had to go to the doctor. I've had this nagging pain.
This Thursday, everyone, the Merged Gospel Series. We're almost out of books. There's still time for you to call in and register, and there's probably still time if we exceed our 100-plus books that we can order some more quickly. So if you want to join a number of other like-minded believers for a study through the four four Gospels. I highly, highly recommend it. Maybe you're a father and you have a daughter or father-son you want to come together, or spouses, or as a small group, or you want to bring along a neighbor or friend. This is going to be a really great study. It's going to be more than just a study in God's Word, but it'll include some fun, some fellowship, and some special features, and we'll talk more about that. But this Thursday, it's going to include breadsticks and salad from the Olive Garden restaurant. I already got a commitment from 7-Up to provide Dr. Pepper for one of the gatherings. I'm working on chips and salsa from another restaurant.
You have to give me the schedule because I'm going to try and tie the teachings into the foods.
Yeah.
Chips and salsa is going to be pretty hard, but we'll see.
I'm going to try to also work on, like, peanuts and, well, the Texas Roadhouse, see if I can get peanuts in those yummy rolls with that, what is that, honey butter, and we'll see what else I can maybe get provided for our group. But we'll meet this Thursday night, 6:30 p.m., 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Judah Christian School in Champaign on Prospect Avenue. The cost is $20, and that really just covers a portion of the book. The book's actually $30-plus dollars, but because of Thrivent Financial, we've been able to reduce it to $20. There'll be other ministry resources and handouts that'll be given out in the subsequent weeks. We meet on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. It'll cover basically the next 6 months. So it's twice a month for the next 6 months, beginning this Thursday. We hope you'll join us. Call us if you want to register or need more information. 217-367-7777. That's 217-367, as Joey Kroll says, 7777. So call now.
Well, hey, I want to write the ship, though, on something you said earlier, because I love that you said it, but it's one of those things. I got about a dozen or so things that tweak me just a little bit. And you said it. You were talking about the land of Israel, and you said the supernatural things that we've seen. And I read a book not too long ago. Well, it was probably about 8 months ago. About how needing to follow Jesus. And the name of the book was Radical. And it was basically the author was saying that to follow Jesus, we need to live radically, radically different than the way that we live. And the title of the book bothered me because I think that the way we live right now, which is out of covenant and out of union and communion with God, most people, is a radical way to live. The natural way to live is to live with God and inside of God's word and inside of God's plan and purpose for your life. So when you said, hey, we want to talk about the supernatural things we saw when we were in Israel, I want to write that because I don't think it's supernatural to see God. I think it's wholly natural that when you are in this place and space with God's plan and purposes, when you're looking for God, when you've submitted yourself and you're hearing God's Holy Spirit, that's the natural way you're supposed to live. That's the pre-Genesis 3 way when things are much better, dare I say even good. So I always want to...
I'm speaking in the vernacular, so everyone
understands. I know you are, but...
Because everything we look at is supernatural, if you will.
Yeah, but that's just like when you say, like, oh my gosh, did you see that miracle? I mean, if you went to God and you said, God, it was a miracle, God would go, that thing? I do that all the time. That's what I do every single day. I do those things nonstop. That's not a miracle. That's what I do. You just miss it because you're so wrapped up in your own stuff. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where I go like, because I think we've got to get back to a more natural and holistic view where it's natural to find God and see God in everything that you do because that's how we're living. We're living in a way where, you know, we've got those Christ-centered glasses on and all we see is Jesus. We're not looking to see anything else. And I think that's that eternal optimism that Jesus himself lived with. You know, Jesus himself walked around and he kept pointing out as he walked through the land of Israel. He kept pointing out, there's God, there's God, there's God, there's God. Consider the lilies. Look at those birds. He made a connection to all that right back to the kingdom of God. Not saying, well, those are those birds. Now let me tell you the theology of birds. He said, no, birds are part of everything that God does. Psalm 24:1, the earth and everything in it belongs to God.
So on your natural trip that you observed the natural, what were some of the highlights?
No, the unnatural thing was that I was in a can hurtling along at 500 miles per hour over the ocean. Most people don't know. I white knuckle it the whole entire trip.
Yeah, Jason does not like to fly.
I do not. And I'm going to tell you what, I observed this, and then I had to actually Google it and look at the science. But it is right that when the plane takes off, that the engines really shake a lot until the wings become rigid due to the way the airframe kind of flexes in flight. Because when we took off, the engine was shaking, and I'm thinking, there's like a nut or a bolt that somebody forgot to... Like, you know, the plane takes off, and the mechanic's going like, what are these extra parts for? You know, that's just me. Anybody who knows me, my wife even, she was really got frustrated with me on the trip over. is because she got up to do a bunch of stuff, and I said, you need to sit down. And she's like, Jason, it's not good to sit down. You'll get blood clots in your legs. I said, I don't care.
Yeah.
You have to sit down. We're hurtling along at 500 miles an hour in a metal can. You only get to get up to go to the bathroom. Other than that, sit in your seat and pray you get there okay.
Keep that seat belt on, right?
Yeah, and if you can, fall asleep and pray that God will let you sleep until you get there and you land safely. I said, but don't get up. These people who get up and they walk around the plane and they talk and they eat and they lean against the emergency door make me nuts. Because I know there's no parachutes. There's just a thing that falls from the ceiling, and I don't think that's oxygen. I think it's like a gas. I'll do that, and then I'll fall asleep and won't realize I'm going to die.
So for those of you that have fears to fly and those of you that are like me that just trust in God and have no issues with this, hey, but before we talk about maybe a little more on the flight, let me tell a unique thing that God did, at least unique to what I was praying about. I mean, it was not unique for him, but one of the issues we had is we had about 13 bags of teddy bears and supplies, and right up to about 2 days out, we didn't have those totally accounted for or cleared in terms of whether we're going to have to pay hundreds of dollars to have them shipped or LL Airlines would bring them on for free. Well, I finally got a commitment that they would allow for five of them to be free, but then they said, but that's only with LL Airlines. Because you're using American to get to Newark, we can't vouch for them. Well, I called up American, and thank you, God, for that divine appointment. The guy said, yeah, we can cover them all. How many do you need? And I said, well, I think there's about 12. And he said, okay, we'll write it all up. And I said, could you email me that so I have documentation and all this? And this was like a day out. And so I had all that. Well, I email LL Airlines because they said no way would American do it for free. Mm-hmm. They said they tried to do it. They work closely with American Airlines. And they said there's just no way you'd ever get them for free. Then I email her back and I said, hey, I got them for free. They're going to cover them all. Will you? And then she came up with, I can only do five. Because at the time, I assumed she could do whatever, because in the past, they had done 20 or 30 of these, because we had taken thousands of teddy bears over. So I made an assumption I shouldn't have made.
Well, post 9/11, that all changed, right? The climate changed.
Yeah, yeah, and accountability and costs and everything. So she said she could only do five, and I'm like, oh, no way. You got to do them all. And so she said, well, I do know the guy in Newark, and we can see, and here's my name, and here's my cell phone. If you have problems when you get to Newark, call me. And I'm like, oh, shoot, that's not a clean, smooth transition of trying to track someone down. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if I'm going to meet up with this guy in Newark. Anyways, because I had all my documentation from American, I said, see, they accounted for all 12, and they gave me these numbers. And so there was a little confusion, but finally one guy's like, I don't know, this shouldn't be, we only have approval for five, how did they get approval for 12? And I said, hey, come on, you know, this is a humanitarian project that we're going to help the kids. And so finally they did some shuffling around, and they said, yeah, just tag and bag them, get them, we need to get this on the flight, it's leaving soon. So thank you, God, that all arrived, all but a few teddy bears. I think one of the bags got opened up, and it's like somebody said, I remember there's seemed to be more bags. I said, well, maybe some of the package handlers' children are pretty happy
tonight.
Well,
we remember getting on the plane at O'Hare, and there was, when we were boarding right on the plane, there was like a crack where you could see down, you know, like the side of the plane and all that. And they were loading our teddy bears at the time, and there was a huge crowd of baggage handlers all shaking their heads while these big, huge bags of teddy bears were going up the little ramp into the plane. Like, you know that they're going, what is this all about?
Yeah, yeah. And what was unique, too, is we had, and we talked about this a month or two back, those flyers that we could hand out to people at the airport that described what we were going to do on this trip, the very ways we're going to be serving through donating blood and handing school supplies and materials to children and visiting hospitals and care centers and all that. So we got to minister to a lot of people. But back to the plane. So those that are uncomfortable with the flight, you know, we try to give them, I can't remember, it's a natural herb that helps them to sleep. And then the rest of the people, because you can watch movies and you usually get two or three different meals and you can walk around, there's usually two big aisles and there's a place in the back and in other areas where you can stand up and talk and really enjoy the fellowship.
No, you sit down.
Yeah.
Sit in your seat. That's why they give you the movies to watch, because you're supposed to watch the movie, sit in your seat, not get up.
So for some of you that maybe are a little more terrified or afraid or uncomfortable flying, no problem. We'll get you there safely. We've never lost anyone on any of the flights. And those of you that want to talk and have fun or be in between or just read, that all works out. But the flights, usually the flight there is about 9 hours and 45 minutes, and the flight back's about 10 hours and 20 minutes. So there's a little, because of the jet stream. So I won't go into that. That might terrify you even some more. But
no, that doesn't. Actually, I'll be honest with you. Actually, on the trip back, because the jet stream actually makes a noticeable difference noise-wise. I mean, the jet stream almost sounds like there's a little bit of like a white noise device going on because you're flying against the wind. I actually could kind of drown things out a little better on the way back than the way there. Plus, on the way back, I've been there. I'm like, all right, Lord, you know.
If it's time to take me home.
It's time to take me home. I mean, it really would stink to, you know, on the way to vacation, you.
Well, I will say, I always prefer the window seat because you get about an extra inch and a half to lean into the wall and you can go to sleep. And I have a practice where literally once I sit down, I cannot get up for the whole trip. Mm-hmm. Or I get up once and I can stand on the arm rail so I don't disturb the people next to me. But we sat like three.
A glass of water.
Yeah, that was another trip. Anyway, so
I like the window seat too because I feel like it's my job to make sure the wing stays attached.
So, and then some want the aisle seat. They have a little more leg room, they think. And
well, and all kidding aside, the flight over, a very great flight. No complaints, no anything. LL take great care of us. The meals were great. I mean, the service was great. They did more than they needed to do to make sure everybody was accommodated, if you needed a drink or that. And what I saw that I've never seen with some other airlines is LL almost during the middle of the flight kind of opened up a place where people could come up and get glasses of water, soda, anything that they wanted to get. They kind of set some things out on the counter in the little galley, and you could go up and get a drink. I never saw that on a flight before, and I thought that was really great because, you know, to get those stewardess to come over and do all that, I mean, it's just kind of a pain. So the flight was great. I mean, those are my own things about flying. I try not to impose them on anybody else but my wife.
Poor first lady, but she did great. Actually, she was like a little tour host. She was going around and meeting up with people and talking to people and encouraging people. So it was great having her. And I will say, a lot of ministry took place on that flight because you have 9 or 10 or 11 hours with people and handing out the flyers that describe the trip. And I know some of the people in our group were handing it out and they'd like wink at me because then they would be in a lengthy conversation about, now, why are you doing this? Why are you showing care and compassion to people that you've never met? You're doing this on your vacation. You're going to donate blood, you're going to do what? And so people would talk about the Bible and the scriptures. And I had primed people saying, when you refer to the Old Testament, don't say the Old Testament, because sometimes that implies in Jewish people's minds, old meaning outdated, obsolete, unnecessary, been replaced. Refer to the Old Testament that we look at as the Old Testament, or we call the Old Testament as the Hebrew scriptures. That'll always get their attention. And then just say you have a love for the Jewish people because Jesus was Jewish, the Savior that we follow. And different ways of entering into conversations. So a lot of neat ministry took place, and then we landed.
Tomorrow's program, The Landing.
I know, we're almost out of time. No, we have a couple more minutes, so let's make a few highlights, because I know, like, Bev Lane in Paxton, she hand-sewed over 200 items, little gifts for the kids and little wrist purses and different items that we got to hand out, and so maybe tomorrow we'll have to get into some of the specifics. But we did land, and it was in the evening. Sometimes we land in the morning and have a full day of touring. This time we landed, it was about 5:30, and basically it was already getting dark, and so we boarded onto our bus, and then we started heading to the Galilee area, so we got to see the Sea of Galilee at night.
Yeah, and to our hotel in the Kinar was the name of the hotel, right on the Sea of Galilee on the northeastern side, place that we hadn't been before, and beautiful. I mean, we got there, it was dark, but the next morning, I'll never forget getting up and seeing the sun rising over the western side over there, over the mountains and the Tiberias, and just the sun coming over on there, and then just being kind of overwhelmed that this is the sea that Jesus walked on. I mean, this is a place where so much of Jesus's ministry happened, and to see that at a sunrise, I don't know, for me, just being a visual person too, there was something very powerful about this kind of great light coming out of the sky, out of darkness, and this place where Jesus did all this ministry, and knowing that we were there in that vicinity, that, you know, at some point, sometime, somebody was standing where this hotel now exists, looking out and saw the boats that Jesus' disciples were in, or the saw Jesus with them, or something. So I just, for me, when you get there and you realize that you're standing in the place where at some point, somebody probably saw Jesus. You know, I don't like to fixate on Jesus walked here, but instead think about it more in terms of somebody who saw, interacted, knew of, or was an initial follower of Jesus might have stood here.
Yeah, yeah. And this hotel was a kibbutz hotel, which was owned by a number of the members of this kibbutz. It's an upscale, very nice hotel, nice meals, nice rooms, and a great setting.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I had stayed at this hotel. We were trying a different one on the northeastern side, and the Golan Heights were like right above us, if you will. And it was a beautiful setting and the start of our campaign to begin to serve and to minister to people. Because the very first day, I mean, after that night, we slept. We woke up, we headed to Nazareth to meet up with Fadi, who we interviewed a few months back, and minister to his kids at the Child Evangelism Fellowship campus, and then we went to a Nazarene school.
Yeah, though first, though, we went to where Jesus cast out the demons. Nothing like starting a trip where Jesus cast out demons. So.
Oh, yeah, that was our first ministry
moment.
Yeah,
because Eitan, the guide, had said, we've never started a tour with this kind of a site.
Yeah, launching point.
Yeah, so it was interesting.
Yeah, we went to Kersey, and I've seen God do some supernatural things at that site. And what's unique, this was my 26th trip, and people say, Mark, why would you go that many times? And I say, each and every trip is different. Each and every trip is unique. And I won't say God does anything different, but we see him show up in different ways at different sites. And only a couple times in my many trips has he shown up. Well, he's always there, but unique things happened or took place that were really surprising to me. One time it was with 50 guys, and I've talked about this over the air in the past, where God just showed up, where we launched into a time of sharing and transparency, and God did some work in people's hearts. He brought about healing, and the topic just launched us into a great week of 50 guys learning and sharing and growing together. Well, this time, because of some comments and sharing by different people, and the first lady being one of them, it just really opened up not only camaraderie, but an openness for people to share and express things. And I loved how she honored you. And it was just a very unique start for the trip. And I thank God for that being a very unique place to start a trip. Yeah. But he did some battles on our behalf.
Actually, it was funny. On the back end of this, I would say that that was the perfect place to start. Because as you're going to start to move and travel and see the places where Jesus walked, the places where God did just amazing things, where God used this land, that we might need to rout a few demons out of us. You know, we might need to unhook ourselves from some places where we've been, things we've seen, things we've known. So I thought it was a perfect place to actually start.
Yeah, it was really good. Well, lots more to say. We really haven't even started yet. So we'll devote tomorrow's program. I had talked to Obadiah about being a part of it, but I think we're going to have to save him for the following week or something. But thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.